Now I'm going to speak about nothing. Well, I'm going to speak about nothing. Speaking about nothing is not the same as saying nothing. So much can be spoken about the number zero in mathematical theory. The number zero, or the word zero, is in Sanskritum shunya. Not a very popular word among Vaishnavas, but it is name 749 in Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, in the recension that I'm following. So let's talk about it. Shunya as a name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which means empty, void, non-existence. Now, there are Vaishnava commentators on Vishnu Sahasranam, and there is the commentary by Sri Shankaracharya, who is a closet Vaishnava on a mission, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, but who has propagated the philosophy of Kevaladvaitavad, in which he propounds that the Absolute Truth is devoid of any attributes. So he takes this name, Shunya, in consonance with this philosophy that he propounds, that the Absolute Truth is devoid of any attributes. He says that, yeah, he's called Shunya because he is devoid of any attributes. We don't like this. We don't like this at all, this idea that no attributes of the Supreme Lord. In fact, Shankara's philosophy himself, Shankara's philosophy itself, propagated by himself, is largely in opposition to, or at least supposed to be in opposition to, the voidism or the shunyavad of the Buddhists and the Jains, and especially the Buddhists, in which they propose, I don't really know how it can be called a philosophy or how any philosophy can be built on it whatsoever, although the Buddhists have built a massive edifice of not really one philosophy, but with many, many facets to it, of tremendous philosophical edifice, all on the basis of nothing. I suppose they have to do that because it's very difficult to show that everything is nothing, because it's not. Shankara stands in opposition to this. He doesn't say that shunya, everything is nothing, but he says that, he says one. Buddha says zero. Shankara says one. Madhva emphasizes two, dualism. Shuddha dvaita, no, not shuddha dvaita, there's shuddha. Shuddha Dvaita. And in general, the Vaishnavas, they emphasize the many, infinity. He has an infinity of forms. So Vaishnavism is also, or Indian philosophy, we can say, for want of a better term, is very mathematical. Shankara says this name shows that Supreme Lord is he takes it literally to mean nothing. But if we say to someone, you are nothing, that's insulting, isn't it? You are nothing. You're nothing. You're nothing. It's insulting. It's not one of the dearest names of the Supreme Lord. We don't find the residents of Vrindavan calling out to him, Shunya, Shunya. They call out to him, Govinda, Murari, Ah, Damoda, Keshava. These are very dear names of the Supreme Lord. Shunya, it's more like an acknowledgement that he is everything, and his everythingness includes nothingness also. His everythingness is so complete that nothingness is also a facet of it. Nothingness is not outside. If there is a concept of nothingness, which again in Buddhism has been highly developed, which although in the Western world there is philosophy, there nihilism is also there, but it's not developed as in Buddhism. If we want to look for gold in a filthy place or give credit where it's due, then philosophically Buddhism is incredibly developed, but it's all on the basis of nothing. And then another great contribution of Indian minds, although we're not particularly promoting Indianism here, we're promoting Krishnaism, is the propounding of zero in mathematics, which gives a position that we come to base 10. But also not just giving the zero, which makes mathematics as it's now known in the Western world, in the Roman world, there were Roman numerals which severely restricted their possibility of doing mathematics. But the implications of zero were very much developed by Indian mathematicians who were all followers of the Vedic culture. So, yeah, Shunya, it's there in Vishnu Sahasranam. It's not one of the dearest names. I don't plan to call any upcoming disciple by the name Shunyadas, and we've never heard of anyone called Shunyadas. But it's there in Vishnu Sahasranam, and the Vaishnava commentators have commented on it without disparaging it. We should do also. Not in the way that, obviously, not in the way that Shankara does, to say that he's devoid of attributes, which is absurd. Because if we take this one name absolutely literally, then all the other names in Vishnu Sahasranam are nullified. Why don't we take all the other names describe his qualities in various ways, his qualities, his activities. Activities are done by persons with attributes. So it's really biased of Shankara to take this one name and say, yes, see, Shunya, yes, yes, it means the Supreme is without attributes. But that's not even the Mayavad philosophy. They say, Satyam, Jnanam, Ananta, Brahma. Well, those are attributes, right? Satyam, Brahma, they say Brahma is nirguna. But Satyam, truth, truthful. Truth. Truth is a better word here than truthfulness. Truth with a very big capital T. Jnanam, knowledge, and how do you say, knowledge is an attribute, but then the Mayavadis want to say that Jnana, Gaya, Gata, they all become one. Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower, they're all one. Something wrong with your knowledge there. This is an impossibility. The Vaishnava Acharyas have shown with a simple logic that this is impossible. And anyway, even a child can understand this, that it's not all the same. If I know something, I know something about something else. Or if I know about me, the knowledge about myself, if I take myself to be the body, my body is so much tall, so much average weight. It's knowledge about, it's not exactly. To say that I am whatever it is, almost, I think it's 5 foot 11 and a half inches, something tall, and I don't know what it is in metric. that is a statement which can be, it describes something about the body that I'm presently in. It's got to be an approximation. But it doesn't exactly correspond to the body that I'm in. The term 5 foot 11 and a half inches does not correspond directly to my body. The body has got nothing to do with that statement in English language or French language or German language or any language. So Shankara tries to take this name as attributelessness. But it contradicts his own. And Ananta means unlimited, eternal, unending. But Ananta can only be understood in relation to other things, which means there are attributes. Anyway, I'm not going to get into a whole big thing just now about how Mayavad, impersonalism, and Shunyavad are terribly flawed. They're wrong. I won't get into that. Let's get into something better than Shankara's attempted ode to illusion. He's commenting on the Vishnu Sahasranama, saying Vishnu is like this, Vishnu is like that, but then he says all nothing. So his commentary on Vishnu Sahasranama, he takes it all as an ode to illusion. And then why should you, if you think it's all illusory, then why are you making a commentary on it? So, let's get to the Vaishnavas. Proper understanding, the name Shunya in relation to Vishnu means that he's empty or devoid of, not everything, not devoid of attributes, but devoid of defects. That's one way of understanding it. Another way is that he makes everything as if empty. At the time of the dissolution of the universe is completely wrapped up, enters all the ingredients enter the body of Mahavishnu. There's nothing left. So he makes nothing. And also he wipes out his enemies without trace. Jai, Haribol. That's much better understanding of Shunya than trying to enviously imagine him to be devoid of any attributes. From the Madhva Sampradaya, another meaning is given, that he's called Shunya because he makes everyone below him. There's no one, nothing equal to him or above him. Mataparataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. No one is equal to him. Okay, let's look a little bit at the understanding. He's devoid of defects. Parashrabhata gives this understanding that he takes birth among humans. What is that? Humans, rishis, aquatics. This is the verse spoken by Prahlad Maharaj, Channa Kalo Tadabhavat Ata Tri Yugang, that you take birth in various species of life, among rishis, demigods, aquatics, humans. He takes birth in this defective material world among humans and others who have defects, but he himself is not defective. He appears to be one of us, but he's not. Even though he takes birth and among humans and moves in human society as if a human, he is always situated in his own transcendental position. Etad ishanam ishasya prakritistho pitad gunai. Na yujyate sadatmastair yatabuddhistadashrayaha. Very, very, very important verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Just prior to this, it describes, this is in the first canto, just prior to this describes how Krishna, he is solicited or by his beautiful wives who want to enjoy with him, but he's not moved in the slightest, because even though etad ishanam, this is the quality of him being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that even though he appears within his own material energy, he's not affected by the qualities of that material energy, but he remains in his own position, Shuddha Sattva. And those who take shelter of him, they also participate in that same pure position, which includes the queens of Dwarka. Their coquetry is not on the mundane platform, although it might seem to be. He takes birth, although he's unborn, among humans to make himself accessible to them. He likes people. Is that a defect? No, it's not a defect. That he comes, the Mayavadis take it to be a sign that Vishnu has got defects because he appears among people. Whereas the ultimate manifestation of the highest truth is without personality, without form. It's distasteful even to think about their philosophies. But that is his great love, that he appears. His heart is not empty. His heart is very full. Full of love. Full of compassion. Compassion is an aspect of love. He's accessible to the people, which means especially for his devotees, they like to access to. And he also makes himself accessible to his enemies by killing them. He could, just like remote control, you sit in an office somewhere in America, fiddle around on your computer and send some drones and kill people on the other side of the world. He could do it by remote control, killing his enemies. Parasya shakti vividhaiva shruyate swabhaviki jnana balakriya cha. His potencies are multifarious, and they're naturally inherent in him. So he can do that. But it's not heroic. What kind of courage is there in sitting in somewhere in the desert in America or wherever, fiddling around with computer buttons and killing people by remote control? It's not the same as it's not the stuff which makes Hollywood movies, I guess. It might make some kind of mental movie, not the kind of action movie, not your Rambo kind of movies. Where's the heroism? There's no heroism. There's no leela. There's no pastime. There's no courage. So Krishna makes his pastimes kissing the gopis. Yes, Killing the demons? Yes. Krishna enjoys that. Why go to a war movie and enjoy the pleasure of fighting vicariously when you can be the star and actually do it? Of course, who wants to actually risk their life and actually become a hero? Krishna does, and he does it very well. And he makes his enemies shunya. I'll finish you off. I'm going to finish you off. He finishes them off. Finishes them off means he makes them nothing. From hero to zero. Krishna, he enjoys making his enemies, the demons, Indrari Vyakalam Loka. Indrari Vyakalam Loka. The enemies of the enemies who disturbed the enemies of Indra who disturbed the world, Krishna comes to disturb them, very seriously disturb them, and make all their big plans into zero. Another way, zero, we've heard actually this word shunya. We hear shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me yugayatam nameshena chakshusha pravrishayatam shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays that feeling separation from Govinda. To me, every moment seems to be drawn out to a very long extent. There's a torrent of tears from my eyes. Without Govinda, everything seems shunya, empty. So Krishna, he, by not being present, that we get in the next verse from Shikshashtakam, Adarshanan Mam, not showing yourself to me, he makes the devotees feel empty, although actually their heart is completely full by thought of Krishna, and they can get relief from the tortures of material life by remembering Krishna, which is why we're discussing Vishnu Sahasranam. Prahlad Maharaj, Naivod Vijay Paradurataya Vaitaranyas, Tvad Virya Gayana Mahamrita Magnachitta. I don't feel any disturbance in this material world, and who was disturbed more than Prahlad by Hiranyakashipu, who was so much disturbed. But I'm fully happy in the nectar of glorifying your names, forms, qualities, pastimes. So, shunya. The devotees feel empty. Well, they feel the whole material world is empty. Why empty? Because without Govinda, what's the point of this whole material world? So actually, by his presence in the material world, he shows that the whole material world is empty, inasmuch as it is insubstantial. He is substance. Everything apart from him is insubstantial, and in that sense, empty. So then why is he called empty? Because emptiness cannot exist without him. It is a facet of him. If there's substance, substance is conceived of in relation to that which is insubstantial. So everything is Krishna, nothing is separate from him. So even the emptiness is a facet of Krishna. Vedanta Deshika Venkatanath describes six rahasyas or mysterious qualities of the avatars of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, to show that even though he's shunya, it's not shunya in the sense of being devoid of any qualities, but shows that everything else is empty without him. So different facets, six major facets of the Supreme Lord's avatars. And this is not the, you may be thinking, ah, I know what you're going to say, Aishwarya Shasamagra. No, not that. First of all, Deshika says, Swami Deshika says, Nana Vidhai, they are of different types. Matsya, Narasimha, Krishna, in different types, different forms. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also described that there are the there are Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Yuga avatars, Leela avatars, Manvant avatars, and Shaktyavesha avatars, six kinds of avatars. So that's another way from the Gauriya's perspective of looking at the various types of avatars of the Supreme Lord. Akapatai, Swami Deshikan says, they're all true forms, not just appearances. Although, yeah, they're not just appearances in as much as they are eternal. Unlike the form that I and you are presently in, it's will-o'-the-wisp, come, gone. Born some years ago, will die, and just like a spark in a fire, boom, come, gone. But Krishna's form is eternal and real. Although we do hear in Bhagavatam, he is described as Kapata Manusha, or he and Balaram. Kritavan Kila Karamani, Saharamena Keshava, Atimatyani Bhagavan, Gurha Kapata Manusha. Krishna, along with Balaram, perform many activities appearing to be like a human. Although he is superhuman, beyond death, he is the Supreme Lord. So whatever quality we may say of the Supreme Lord, we can see the other side also. He is akapat, his forms are real, but then he's also kapata manusha, because he's not really a human, but he appears like that. Kapat, this word, it means cheating, deception, like this, or non-reality. Then, ajahat swabhavaha. All his qualities of him being the Supreme Lord are present with him in all his avatars. Aprakritai, his forms, when he appears in this world, they are not material forms. They're fully spiritual forms. We've discussed that. They're not made of bhumirāponalobhāyo kaṅmano buddhirevacha ahaṅkāra itiyāṅve bhinna prakṛtirashtata. They're not made of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, or false ego of this material world, which are also non-different from Krishna, but they are his separated energies. Krishna's form is Satyidananda Vigraha, of completely spiritual essence. But his form is shunya in the sense that it's devoid of any touch of the material qualities associated, born of material nature. Tribhir gunamayar bhavair api sarvamidang jagat mohitam na bijanati mamebhya paramavyayam. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, Krishna says, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. Then Swami Deshika says, Nija vihara vashe, Nijavihara Varshena Siddhai. These forms, being non-material, are not a result of previous karmic activities, as they are in our case. We get different bodies due to our previous karmic activities. This does not pertain to Krishna's pastimes, although it does require very deep understanding to understand all of this, because we hear, for instance, that Krishna had to die by being shot by the arrow of a hunter, having killed Vali previously as Rama. We hear things like that. But that is part of his cheating pastimes. He's not subject to any karmas, not at all. But again, once we start discussing topics of Krishna, Krishna is so unlimited, so immense, so full of qualities that if we go off on little tangents, then there's no end to it. So I'll come back to to this point, that Krishna, he's not. I'll just come back to the basic point. Krishna, his forms are not there is. He doesn't suffer from the results of previous karmas, nor does he enjoy from the result of previous karmas. He enjoys because that's him. Ajopi sanavi atma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakritim swam adhishtaya sambhavami atma mayaya. Krishna is unborn. His form is eternal and never deteriorates. But he appears within this material world, he says, by his own mercy, by his own desire, by his own energy. Then the sixth of the qualities, Swami Deshika says, Atmiya raksha vipaksha vinashanartai. He comes to, this is a paraphrase of what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, very well known, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashayasta dushkritam. Dharma samsthapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna says, I appear in this world, age after age, for the sake of uplifting the devotees, destroying the demons. So, same thing. For those who are atmiya. This is a common word in Indian languages up to the present day, especially I hear it in Bengali. Atmiya, swajan, kutumba, those who are our close relatives. So atmiya can mean a relative, but also it can mean someone who's very closely associated with us. So Krishna's devotees, he comes to protect them, and those who are on the other side, vipaksha, the enemies of the devotees, he comes to destroy them. Vinashartai, for the sake of destroying them. So Krishna comes for these reasons. Nothing to do with karma accumulated in previous births. So in this way we can understand there are no with all these qualities, amid all these qualities, usually people have some qualities and some faults. And we have the phenomenon of religious biography called hagiography, which means that you make a biography of a saint, but you leave out all the bad things. Very saintly person, would pray for so many hours a day, was very austere. The only thing was that every few days he'd beat up some junior monks. But we don't talk about that because we don't want to. But Krishna, there's no defect in him. And even if you see a defect, like he's dancing with the gopis, it's not a defect. It has to be understood. He's devoid of defects. Big zero very big zero when it comes to defects. And even if you take it that they're defects, they are qualities for him. And for the rascals and demons, they see his qualities as defects. And then Krishna makes them zero by wiping them out. This, the Madhva commentary, one Madhva commentary that I have on Vishnu Sahasranam, says that because he's devoid of defects, and they comment that the entire second chapter of the Brahma Sutras, there are only four chapters, but the entire second chapter, from the Madhva understanding, they establish that Vishnu has no defects whatsoever. So he is dosha varjita, devoid of defects, dosha shunya. And they also, from the Madhva Sampradaya, also give the understanding that he's called shunya because, like space, he is infinite. Can be seen as nothing, can be seen in this way. Space in and of itself can be seen as empty, just like we have the element Akash, which is sometimes understood to mean space. But if space is composed of air, then Akash means that within which space exists, the space within which what we call space exists. From Gita, Mayata tamidam sarvam jagata vyakta murtina amatthani sarvabhutani nachahang tesha vastita. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, Krishna says, but I am not in them. So he is that, just we have that term, adhara, the receptacle. He is the receptacle, or the that in which everything exists. But he's separate from them. He's not connected with them. Just like in a pot, you can have soup with various vegetables in it. So the vegetables are in the pot. The pot holds the vegetables, but the pot is always separate from the vegetables. He makes the soup possible. Without a container, you wouldn't have soup. You'd just have a mess. That's all. You couldn't make soup. And if you spill it, then it's not called soup anymore. It's called a mess. I quoted that Mataparataram Nanyat Kintirasti Dhananjay. He may be called Shunya in the sense that he's above everyone. There's no one, nothing equal to him. If we take the second part of this verse, Mai Sarvamidang Protam Sutre Manigana Iva. Everything is strung on me as pearls are strung on a thread. So in this sense also, Krishna is Shunya. He's empty or qualityless in the sense that we can't directly perceive him. The thread, we can't see it. Here we go. here's a. It's not manigana, although it's not a thread of pearls, although tulsi is much more valuable than pearls. But you can't see the thread. We can understand the thread must be there, but to a skeptic, we can't prove it. Of course, to a skeptic, you could be skeptic ad infinitum. There's no end to skepticism. You can't prove anything to a committed skeptic. There is a way to prove it. You kick him in the face with boots, and then you prove to him it hurts. And if he doesn't admit it, kick him again. Anyway, the thread is seemingly shunya or non-existent. We don't think about it. We don't see it. We don't think about it. It's unseen. It's imperceptible. And in this way, Krishna can be considered shunya. He cleans out everything at the time of the universal destruction. That's another way he's shunya. I mentioned that already. That is an understanding given by Sri Satya Sandha Yati Raja. Then another meaning is that, yeah, just like this Sutra Imanigana Iva, the thread is not directly perceivable to our senses, although logically we could understand, we can understand that there should be a thread there, because otherwise how do beads remain on a necklace? We can logically try to understand. Sri Ramanuja has very interestingly refuted all such logic to establish the existence of God, and he only accepts the testimony of Shastra. So simply by logic alone we cannot understand God. He remains distant from us as if there's nothing there, unless and until we please him and by our devotional service, and then he reveals himself to us. Otherwise, by our senses, our mind, our intelligence, we cannot understand him. And that's the problem of the atheists. They only want to believe what is within their field of understanding, but he is avang manasa gochara. He's beyond words to describe, the mind to access. Atashri Krishna namadi nabhaved grahyam indriyaihi sivun mukhe hi jivado swayam eva spurati ada. By the mundane senses, which includes the mind, Krishna, his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes are inaccessible. But when we become inclined to serve him, then out of his mercy, if he's so inclined, which he is inclined to those who serve him, without corrupt motivation, then he reveals himself to them. Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse no less than 3 times in his monumental Bhagavad Gita, as it is, including within the purport to this verse, Mayata Tamidam Sarvam, in which Krishna, he describes how he is the whole universe is this avyakta murti, which corresponds to shunya, that he's not seen, may not be seen in the universe, but he can be, and then Srila Prabhupada goes on to describe how he can be seen, but not by the, not accessible to the mundane senses, accessible to the spiritual senses. With the senses which are made for access to the material world, to material phenomena, we do not have access to the spiritual world and spiritual phenomena. Therefore, we have to spiritualize our senses. If we remain in Plato's cave, then if we refuse to come out, then we never have access to the sunshine. And we say, well, we never saw any sunshine. There's no reason to presume that there's sunshine. There's no logical need. There's no existential need. So in this way, Krishna remains shunya to us. Baladev Vidyabhushan says shunya means he diminishes unayati, the happiness, sham. Sham means auspiciousness. Just like in Shambhu, Lord Shiva, Shambhu. Yeah. Sham means auspiciousness, happiness. He diminishes the happiness of the demons. So this is similar to one of the interpretations already given. Now, and Satyadevo Vashishta, waiting for that, he gives a completely different meaning. He's given this meaning to several names derived from different Sanskrit interpretations, that he who goes everywhere or is present everywhere, giving a different analysis of the name Shunya. He goes everywhere, just like the word come. He gives the example, the word come, the word for sky or ether. It also means a void or a cipher, because only in a void can there be, see, he's very philosophical. There can only be motion from one place, motion of an object from one place to another, if there's nothing in between. Motion is checked if there's anything in between. So in this way, he shows that the existence of the Supreme Lord who makes movement possible, Jagat, Gachatiti Jagat, that which moves is the world, that which in which everything moves is the world. Nothing is still. The mountain is not still. We say Achala, that's another name coming up soon in Vishnu Sahasranam. Unmoving, Sthavaranam Himalayaha. But if we get down to the sub-atomic level, we'll see, or even to the atomic level, we'll see that things, that everything is in motion. That motion is made possible by the space that Krishna gives to for everything to move in. And Satyadeva Vashishta gives the understanding that just like the number one can be enhanced by shunya, zero. And bring more zeros, you enhance it more and more and more. 100, 1,000, 10,000, 1 lakh, 1 million, 10 million, and it goes on and on and on and on. Although the number zero, if we say number, it's not a number in the same sense that 1, 2, 3, or even 0.0000001 are numbers. But it has such a function that although it's nothing, if you put it after a one, it increases its quality. And put more zeros, this zero, who is Krishna, is such that the more we add Krishna, the more we become exponentially enhanced, the more we add Krishna. So this is the kind of nothing that we want to see Krishna as, not an absolute nothingness. The zero in itself, in terms of mathematics is very much correlated with philosophy. In fact, some mathematicians, Bertrand Russell, have tried to end all philosophy on the basis of mathematics, at least logic. But the role of shunya, zero in mathematics, it's different to a number. If we get into trying to understand what zero is, it just talking in mathematical terms, it's inexplicable, but it's essential. That is Krishna. Inexplicable and essential. But as far as the idea of nothingness proposed by the Shunyavadis, who promote the emptiness, denying the substance, we have to remember the great contribution of Srila Prabhupada as the representative of all the Vaishnava Acharyas in being nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya desha tarne. We offer our respect to, he came to the Western world delivering it from impersonalism and voidism, which we should continue to do on his behalf as his instruments by distributing his books among the people who are tortured by impersonalism and voidism. So we can end this talk by offering our respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who for the first time in the Western world revealed the personality of Godhead, who is not Shunya, but who we learn from Vishnu Sahasranam is Shunya also, but not in the way that the impersonalists and Mayavadis think of him as being Shunya. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravarni Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Padaya.